STR Podcasts and Radio are brought to you through the generous support of people just like you. You can support these podcasts by making a gift online at str.org or by phone at 1-800-2-REASON.
At a recent event, I was introduced as Saeed Ibn Umar. Yeah, that's a Muslim name, but no, it's not a pseudonym, and I haven't converted to Islam. I made it up because I was role-playing a Muslim to this class of Christian students. And my goal was really to see how well they could defend their convictions as Christians, and of course respond to some of the common Islamic challenges that I'm used to getting, and so of course I was throwing those challenges to these students. Now the students had no idea I was a Christian, which of course explains why they suddenly got very, very serious when they realized that a Muslim was in their class and was about to speak to them. Now what I did was I began by telling them that my goal was to clarify some misconceptions they had, not just about Islam, but also about Christianity. And of course, they were very puzzled by this. Like, well, how could a Muslim come into the class and into a Christian class and explain to Christians how they have misconceptions about their own faith? And basically, I did this by arguing that the Bible was corrupt and that they've been misled into believing that what the Bible says is true. And of course, this is a very standard and common Islamic argument that's offered against Christians. I taught them, or I argued, that Yahweh and Allah are basically the same God. I explained that they have a misconception about jihad, and that in reality there is no violent jihad in Islam, but rather violent jihad exists in Christianity. You know, and I gave them examples about the Canaanite slaughter and the Spanish Inquisition and the Crusades, and I even tried to argue that Christians are killing Muslims in Iraq today. So you might be thinking, well, how did the... And then, of course, I offered them opportunities to respond to these challenges throughout the entire kind of conversations that we had. And so you might be wondering, well, how well did they do? Well, you could probably sum it up in one word, and that is lousy. I mean, about 10 minutes into the interaction, they were conceding several of my arguments. In fact, one student responded by saying, okay, all right, I can see how you're saying that Christians are killing Muslims in Iraq right now. Okay, I agree with that. I agree that's happening, but, and they kind of went on to make some other point, you know. Or this other guy raised his hand. He's like, okay, he goes, I agree the Bible's corrupted, but can't you say that? And went off to kind of argue some other point. And I think to myself, what? You know, don't say this, right? I mean, here were Christian students at a private Christian school, and they were conceding my arguments. They were agreeing with all of the typical Muslim talking points within about 10 or 15 minutes. Now, after about half an hour of interaction, they were finally told my true identity. And of course, that was a huge relief to them. You know, they're like, oh man, are you serious? You're not really Saeed, you know? But then there was an opportunity for them to kind of grade themselves. And they were asked, on a scale of 1 to 10, how well did they think they did? Now, most of the students graded themselves with a score between 1 and 4. Okay, so basically a 10 to 40% score, which of course isn't a passing grade. It's not even close. And of course, this is the bad news, right? I mean, it was evident that they were not prepared to deal with a Muslim, right? However, they need to be. I mean, as you probably realize, there's a lot of Muslims in the world. 1.5 billion Muslims are allegedly around on this planet. And that makes about 1 in 5 people on Earth a Muslim, which is a lot of Muslims. And their numbers are increasing very, very fast. Moreover, the more we hear in the news about Islam or about Muslim involvement in our world or in our culture, the more we see Islam's effect in our world. And so this isn't really a religion that we can just ignore or feel content with just kind of having a very basic understanding of. And of course, this is precisely why it was kind of distressing to see this next generation of Christians so ill-equipped to deal with this issue. Now, here's the good news. The good news was, despite their sort of, you know, less than stellar performance, there was a student who actually stood out quite well, and her name was Kennedy. And in fact, in our dialogue, now I had done this to about 5 different classes in a row, and she was just one of the students in one of the classes. But in that class, she was able to respond to several of my challenges and actually kind of put me in the hot seat. And what was really amazing about her was she was able to do it very graciously by calmly asking me questions that cut through my sophistry, which is basically what I was engaging in, clever sophistry. In fact, Kennedy's arguments were so good, I actually had to lie and make things up on the fly just to avoid the force of her conclusions, which of course was very, very impressive. So after the class was over and, you know, everybody knew my true identity, of course, I was very curious to know how this Kennedy person had gotten her training. You know, where did she learn and study about Islam? Where did she learn to argue, you know, with these kinds of arguments that were very effective? And I was a little bit embarrassed and surprised by her answer, although I guess in retrospect, maybe I shouldn't be. But she said to me, she goes, "Well, Mr. Schliemann," she goes, "I read your book." And what had happened was during the summer, she had picked up the book I wrote about Islam called The Ambassador's Guide to Islam. And she'd read it, she'd learned its tactics, and basically was applying those tactics to me as I role-played a hostile Muslim. And so that was very encouraging. And so I knew the arguments in my book worked because, of course, I'd used them on Muslims myself. But being on the receiving end of them gave me kind of a new appreciation for how effective they really were. And that was quite a good experience for me.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts and radio program are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.